Welcome back to another episode of Dentistry's Growing with Grace podcast. Join Grace and her guest of the week as they discuss lessons learned in the industry and explore unique insights into ethical growth.
Hello and welcome back to Dentistry's Growing with Grace. I am very excited to have my dear friend, Wendy Aldaman, here with me today from Career Elevation. Wendy, what's going on?
Hey, it's a beautiful day. It's raining, but we need the rain here. So it's always going to be a glorious day when it's raining.
I love it. It's so nice to see you. And it's been fun. We've known each other for several years now. And, you know, it's always fun to talk business with you and hear about what you're up to. Yeah. You're an entrepreneur in my mind, you know, by definition. So tell me a little bit about you and your business for people that maybe don't know you yet.
Sure. Career Elevation is all about helping women find the career that they want. You know, we get so stagnant and so stuck in the position because it feels safe and it feels like it's so impossible to move. And I am here to gently nudge you or just push you off the cliff. Either way you want to go. You know, I am here to help you in whatever transition you want when you're ready.
So you're here to help that person who is going, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I don't know if I'm really happy. I think I want to do this other thing, but how do I get to that point? So, I know that a big part of this process and what you do in career elevation is helping people find the right opportunity. You know, when it comes to hiring, do you recommend that people hire quickly, that they hire slowly? How does that look to you?
So I really enjoy the hiring process and I like to hire slow. And I think that that is important on my aspect because you might have posted on a Monday and you get 200 resumes by Wednesday, but the golden ticket's on Friday, you know? And if you've closed that window, sometimes that's what really stinks. Now, I don't think leaving the window open for like a whole month is super helpful, but if you have really good communication with your team for them to be open and honest and say, hey, I just want to let you know that I'm looking, that is one of like the key things that I really advise managers and owners to allow their team to be open and honest so that you have additional time for that slow hire. Oh, geez.
I think that's great. I mean, I know for myself, that's been really challenging for me because I like to do everything as quickly as I can. Yeah. That's just my personality. So slowing down to say, is this the exact right fit has been so imperative in making those decisions from a thoughtful, strategic place, not from the heart, because I tend to just like everybody I meet. And so that's tough, but I do have a policy where if someone's looking to try something new or to move on, that they can let me know. And it's a very respectful transition. And I'm very patient with people in that process. And it's happened a couple times throughout the years where someone wanted to go, you know, maybe work for their parents' business and kind of take over that their parents' legacy that happened. Or another person wanted to go back to school and learn, you know, become an attorney. So you have these things where maybe the path that they're on isn't in alignment with the position that they're in. And you've really got to support people as people, not as people in your business, but just as people. And so if it's not their plan, you've got to support that. So you would say about a 4-week hiring process or a 2-week or just to not feel rushed. Is that the point?
Just to not feel rushed. You know, if you have the opportunity to allow it to be 4 weeks, you know, that is awesome. But, you know, thinking about 4 weeks to hire somebody can be super daunting to somebody. But if you're taking it slow and you're having working interviews and you're doing background checks and you're having them do personality tests and stuff, there is a lot of different aspects that you can go into this and you can make it kind of automated, you know, make an email and say, this is the next step. And whoever gets to round number five is the winner.
So what part of this process do you help with?
I help currently, right now, I help with making a customized resume. I also have a digital course that has like A to Z for wanting to leave your position to getting into a new position. And this is all for the employee, not for the office manager or the owner. And I have a digital course for resignation letter as well, because I am trying to also help people to know that leaving your position can be an easy thing. And as long as you're fluid and respectful, then you can have them on your resume in the future and you don't have to worry about them like talking bad about you or thinking bad about you. You have left on good terms and everybody's on the same page.
I think that is what the world needs more of right now. I think it's, you know, I worked for someone once that said, if you ever leave, you're dead to me.
Yeah.
And that was his philosophy in business.
Was that Kevin O'Leary?
And what'd you say?
Was that Kevin O'Leary?
No, I love Mr. Wonderful. Don't you put him in that bubble.
He said you're he always says you're dead to me.
He says you're dead to me, but yeah, I guess he does. I still love him. He's crazy and he's so rude, but he's smart. You know, there's respect there. No, this person wasn't anywhere near that status to be able to say that, but you know, and it's funny because I'll still see that person every once in a while and he won't even say hello to me. It's so weird. But I think this goes back to culture. And I think this is why some people look for a new position or look for a new career path, is because they don't feel, I think one of the, and you can totally disagree with me because you're the expert here. But I think a lot of people leave a business and a position because they don't feel like they have growth potential. They feel like this is it. And I think some people need to feel like they're on a path. But maybe that's me projecting, because I always like to be growing.
Well, yes, you always like to be growing. I agree with that. I think that people stay stagnant because they're comfortable and they don't see themselves actually moving into this other position, because it's scary to go from the position you're in to the position you want. You don't know what's in between, and people are terrified of that. So they stay in a job and their manager, their owner, whoever, coworkers are just jerks. And they're like, well, it's better to be here because I'm comfortable and I know the atmosphere, versus actually leaving and not knowing the steps in between.
Mm-hmm. And is it going to be worse at my next position, or is it going to be better? Yeah. And sometimes you don't know until you get into it.
I agree.
It's tough. It's a risk. And
I think that we should treat jobs like dating. And I think that we should date a few jobs and we can break up with those jobs and it's okay. And eventually we'll marry one and it will be glorious and wonderful. But, you know, it's okay to not just have one job, one boyfriend.
We hear a lot about people who have job interviews set up and then they just don't show up. I would say a good average is like a third.
Yeah.
Set up interviews don't show up. Why is that?
You know, that's something that I have been wanting to know and wanting to understand. And I wanted to bring up this question because I really want people to comment and tell me why. Like, I am so interested in hearing what the purpose is. So one of the other reasons why.
I have theories.
You have theories? Okay, go ahead with your theories.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm interested to know.
So one, I think, is some people enjoy kind of working the systems. I've learned that there's a small fraction of the population that kind of likes to be on unemployment.
Uh-huh.
And they have to be actively pursuing work sometimes to stay on unemployment. So I think sometimes it fits their own agenda. Others, I think, apply to a whole bunch without really paying attention to what the jobs are or without really looking into the companies. And then before the interview, they look at it and then they're like, no, I don't really want this anymore. Mm-hmm. They should have done that before they got in your schedule for sure. And then there's others, I think, that do background research and they talk themselves out of a new opportunity because they're fearful. So they'll look for any reason why a company's not a fit. They'll look at reviews or something and kind of scare themselves out of change. They're thinking, I want a new career opportunity, but I'm scared. And so they dip their toes and then they panic. And I see that. I see that all the time. Those are my three answers.
Yeah. And to expand on that last part, I think people will ask their friends and say, hey, did you hear about this person? Did you hear about this person? And they'll hear one bad story, one negative story that pertain, that like, it was just so out of context. And, you know, there was 10 other things that happened before this thing happened. And this is the story that they tell, is the really bad part of it, not the whole part before. And I think we're too eager to jump on the negativity versus trying it ourselves and seeing how the person really is. Because just like in marriage, not everybody is right for everybody else. That's the exact same for businesses. And I think that we need to understand that just because one person had a bad experience does not mean that you are going to absolutely hate this practice.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting because it's about finding compatibility. And I've heard people refer to employees as toxic.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a matter of a person in most cases. Some people are really unhealthy, but I think in most cases, it's not about toxic people. I think it's about someone being toxic for you. And that goes both ways, for employer to employee and employee to employer. I think it's all about finding your fit, your people. And if you go into it thinking that they're going to be perfect, nobody's perfect.
Right.
So tell me about, you've got mention of aptitude tests and applicant tracking and, you know, recruiting team members and how you find people. So you've got a lot of interview questions here about the owner and the recruiter side of it. And I find that interesting because you're usually guiding the applicant, right? Yeah, Why is it important that the applicant be aware of the hiring processes and how does that affect how they go into a new opportunity?
So one of the things that I was going to talk about in the last question with no showing, which kind of rolls into this one, is what if the person who you are going to be interviewing with is not the office manager at that office, but they're a hiring manager for hundreds of different offices, and you no show to that one office, and now you're out of the running for all of those 100 offices because there's one person doing the hiring for them, or at least doing the beginning stages. So understanding and thinking about the bigger person, the bigger picture, versus just thinking about, oh, this might not be good, you know, I'll just kind of do it halfway.
That's an interesting perspective. So you could be applying at practice A or business A and business B and business C, and the same firm could be overseeing the hiring for a bunch of different places. And once you no-show, you're out for all these other opportunities. I've never even considered that.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that's why I said what I'm doing now, because that's one of the things that I want to expand into in the next 12 months, if not sooner, is to be hiring for offices. And so, you know, keeping detailed notes about each of the people, and if they no-show, then they're going to be out of the running and they're not going to ever know why. And maybe they were the best candidate, but thinking long-term versus just the short gain is super important. But also, if you're going to go work for, I mean, the majority of dentists, I believe, are still small businesses and not corporate. And so corporate offices, they have usually applicant tracking systems. And so to know and to understand that aspect of it, if you have only ever been in small business and you've never gone into corporate, to kind of know both sides, if you're wondering if corporate is right for you.
Yeah, I think it's very helpful to know the process too, and to know that you can really cut off your opportunities by not being respectful and showing up, you know, to those interviews.
Yeah.
So, you know, how important is the aptitude test in making these decisions? How much weight should an employer give to that?
It depends on what system that they're going to use. So I had a friend of mine tell me that her office does aptitude tests, and I haven't hired for offices needing to do aptitude tests. I haven't had anybody ask me to do that. And this aptitude test said that everybody in the office works at like 98% efficiency, and bringing in this team member because of their traits would lower their efficiency. And I thought that was very interesting. But so they had actually made this hire because they thought that they were a really good candidate. And now I am the person to like fail every single test because I get super nervous. And I think that was the same case with this person. So 3 months later, this person is still working there and they love the person and there hasn't been any problems. Now they didn't tell this person and they didn't tell the other employees that this is a possibility. It was just the manager and just the dentist who knew. And I think that that was imperative for them to do that, simply because if everybody knows, if everybody has it in the back of their mind, they're going to assume that that person is doing bad things, you know? And so
I can't even imagine how an assessment would be able to evaluate that. I think sometimes these assessments get so detailed that they actually hurt you more than they help you. But I think there's some value in knowing a personality. I think that's incredibly helpful. I use a personality profiling assessment, and then we also do another assessment of kind of intellect, and their different roles have different requirements. So it really depends on what you're looking for. But it's also important to know where you are as a leader, manager, owner, and what kind of personalities you work best with, because that's going to help you compile a team of more people that are married versus dating.
Yeah. So. And I think that these personality tests can be extremely helpful in the sense of helping to understand how this person will grow and how they will learn, so that if you are really good at showing examples of things, but the person needs to write things down, you know, they're not going to do very good if you just show them, but they need to have things written down if you don't give them that tool to learn. So kind of going on two different aspects of the personality test. And I think that having the personality test to know and understand how this person will grow is the good thing here.
I've never had anyone that I can remember look at any of the assessments and go, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to work for a company that wants to assess me.
Right.
They've almost always been intrigued by it and interested in it. I have had people, I think, I have employees who've admitted to me that they answer things maybe a certain way because they knew they were being interviewed. So I don't know how honest all of these tests are. Some of them you can kind of see through what like the right answer is to get a certain score for a certain role. But it's always got some helpful insight, I find.
Yeah.
So I think it's important.
I think if you tell them ahead of time, like, even if you think that this might be the right answer, I want you to go with the answer that's right for you, because in the end of the story, it's really going to be able to help you be successful, not me be successful.
Yes. And I think that's important. What you're saying right now, there's a lot of wisdom to that, because what a lot of people do is they see a position or they see a salary or they see a thing that looks like it would be really exciting for them. So they want to do everything that they can to get that job. And whether they have to lie in their interview or lie on their resume or whatever it is that they do to get the job, they weren't truthful, they're not going to be happy in it. They wouldn't have been chosen with their real credentials. So when you falsify information in that process, you set yourself up for failure. You're mm-hmm. better off to continue looking for that perfect fit than to try to fit yourself into a role that maybe isn't for you. So, right. So where do you find most of your team members?
Most of my team members. I have found it very successful on Indeed. That's one of the biggest places that I've been able to find people, or ZipRecruiter. And depending.
Really? You've had success with ZipRecruiter?
Have you not?
No.
Oh. Huh.
I tried it early, though. I tried it very early.
Oh. Try it again.
Okay.
I think I have a coupon.
I'll definitely try it again and see how that works. And so why do you find platforms like, how are you seeing that platforms like this are helpful? And why do you think they're so successful?
I think it's easy to go and look at resumes that maybe they wouldn't have been interested in the position because of some certain reason. And find those people and ask them, is this a position that you'd be interested in? Or did you not see it? Did you see it? You know, asking them questions to basically recruit them.
There's a difference between, just posting a job and passively seeing what comes in and actively recruiting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you can kind of do both. When you have a job position open, if you're available for some additional time to look at other people's resumes. And sometimes it even makes it so that you don't have to feel so obligated to check every single thing on their resume. Because when you receive a resume, like via email, for example, I think it's more of a personal touch that they're actually like sending it to you versus you're looking at it on Indeed, because on Indeed and ZipRecruiter, they're just like, yes, 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 yes. And they don't really think twice about it. Mm-hmm. And so you might get a lot more resumes. And this is another reason why to have the description of the job very thorough, so that they know what they're getting into, so that you don't waste your time trying to set up an interview when they really don't want mm-hmm. to come in.
That makes sense. So in helping people who are in a position right now and thinking, I don't think I want to be here anymore, I want to see what else is out there, you can help facilitate that conversation. You can help them decide, should I be looking, or should I be trying to work through some of the issues that I have here? And you can really help them confidently move forward in whatever direction. How can people get in touch with you if they're in that place of indecision about their career?
Sure. My website is careerelevation.net. And right at the top, it says work with Wendy. Simple as that. And you click and see what it is that you might like and work with me.
That sounds great. Well, thank you so much, Wendy. I think this is a very, very important piece of information, especially right now. There's a lot of movement happening with employment, with our current climate. I appreciate you sharing all this great information. And for all of you listening or watching, thank you for being a part of Dentistry's Growing with Grace. You can find us online at identitydental.com or gracerizza.com, or you can join our Facebook group, Dental Marketing with Grace. I hope you all have a great day, and I will see you next time.